Y'all are doing good. I'm just going to sit up. You know, there's this thing. I do substitute teaching every once in a while at the high school, and this is kind of like one of my little things that I do. I just sit here and let them talk for a while. I figure eventually we'll all lock in. That's it, right? You say that? You say lock in? Did I get that right as an old man saying it? Yeah. I slay now. My what? I'm on stream and I'm saying slay. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Gen Alpha. Lord help us, the Gen Alphas are coming. With their, you know what? I remember when I was younger and we had all these words that our parents didn't understand. I'm like, I'm not going to be like that when I get older. And now, what in the world? Where did these words come from? I have no idea. I honestly think somewhere in the internet stream of life, somewhere someone just makes up things and that's what the kids say. Like, when did Ohio become a bad thing? Wow, I feel like I'm down with the Riz. I don't get it. I'm a Rizzler today, aren't I? I lost Aura. No. And everyone over the age of 20 is going, what? Well, we have some prayer this morning we're going to be doing. We've got four things we pray over every single Sunday. We're going to be looking at a core value of the week. This is a core value of Life 360 Church, and we're part of Life 360 Church, so we talk about this. We pray about one of our other Life 360 churches that are a part of who we are. We talk about missions, some missions focus of the week, and then we also talk about the local churches and pray about our local churches here in the community. I actually just sent out letters to all of our local churches this week. Well, actually about 18 of them. And I asked them, I said, hey, shoot me an email. Let me know how we can pray for you. I haven't got anything back yet because, you know, postal service, snail mail, you got to wait for everything to get there. And then they have to, you know, open the mail and they have to read the mail. So we're old school. I'm just, you know, it'd be kind of be interesting to see who writes back. I figured mail is pretty special, so. I know. Anyway, so our core value of the week today is passion for missions. This is our first core value. If you look outside in the hallway, we got that big old poster in the back out there, and you can read a little bit more about this. But Life 360 Church embraces the mandate to reach a lost world from our local community to the ends of the earth. This passion touches every part of our church life and is expressed in all age groups. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second when we get to some of these other ones that we talk about. Like next week we have BGMC Sunday, and that's for our kids. They actually have these things called buddy barrels, little yellow barrels. I think we might have some in the hallway. And they take them home, and they put all the extra spare change and stuff in there. You know, you got quarters and pennies and dimes sitting in your couch somewhere, I'm sure. Or you can find them on the road. We like road pennies. Those are great. Or you can find a half dollar or whatever. Yeah, you just put it in your buddy barrel. You bring it in on Sunday, and Miss Leah collects all that up in kids' church, and the kids are giving money to missions. Last year, and I'm gonna get this wrong. I'm gonna get this number mostly wrong, but last year we gave over $250 in BGMC money, which goes to help print materials and things like that for missionaries all around the globe. And they did that with pennies, nickels, dimes, and whatever dollar bills they could swipe from their parents. I mean, get from their parents. No, I'm just kidding. Don't swipe from your parents. Don't do that. That's why I don't keep cash in my wallet. I'm just kidding. So Yeah, we're highly passionate about missions and everything we do, and I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. We're going to be praying today for Life 360 Webster Park, which is in Springfield, Missouri. It's a community there in Springfield. Pastor Guy Malazzo is out there, and his wife is out there as well. Our missions focus of the week is Convoy of Hope. We've never prayed for Convoy of Hope, yet they give us a bunch of cool stuff. Every 2 months, we get a delivery of stuff from Convoy of Hope, and we are able to put that into our free store. And I got to tell you guys, I know the free store is a blessing to folks that come in, but it's been a huge blessing to me. I was just telling some folks this morning that someone who comes to the free store saw that I was in desperate need of someone to help me with my lawnmower yesterday, and they came and helped me, and that was awesome. And because, you know, I'm not the most mechanically minded in the world, but this guy is, and he helped me out, and I almost got a fully functioning mower. And then you get to mow the lawn again. Yay. And then, so that's what's going on. Convoy of Hope not only supports us and brings stuff out to us, which is through Rural Reach Ministries, which is an arm of Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope reaches out to distressed areas all over the planet. Whenever there is a natural disaster, Convoy of Hope is there. It's just amazing the things that they can do. And they're based out of Springfield. Yeah. I even pointed in the right direction. Springfield's that way. I've been here long enough, I know it's that way. So, I know. It's that way. Our local church we're going to be praying for today is Safe Harbor Baptist Church. They're the folks right up here. They've got right up here on top of the hill here in Conway. So we're going to be praying for them this morning. Will you please stand with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and pray, not only for, not just to be insular in praying over our own church, but we can pray for others and other churches all around, God. Lord, I pray for the continued passion for missions that Life 360 has, that we can continue to give to our missionaries who are spreading the love of Jesus all over the planet. Lord God, I pray right now for Life 360 Webster Park and Pastor Guy out there who's doing some amazing work. He's taken his church from, he's planted his church just within the last 2 years and already has almost 100 people in it. It's amazing. Lord God, I also pray for Convoy of Hope. I pray for their continued work that they're doing throughout the globe, meeting needs and with natural disasters and rural reach ministries like ours. Lord, I pray for Safe Harbor Baptist Church. Lord God, I pray that you would be with them, touch their service, and help them to learn who you are and become closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, on the back table, and I have to get a new one printed. If you are interested in praying for our prayer time, I'll have a new sign up back there. Won't be today, but it'll be next week. If you're interested in praying, just like I did, I'll do all the explanation and everything. All you have to do is pray. You don't even have to come up here. You just do it from your seat, and you pray. And if you want to do that, I invite you to do it. It's very meaningful, and we'd love to have you pray. And I don't care how old you are or how many times you've prayed. It's okay. God knows your heart, right? All right. A few announcements. Who likes announcements? You like announcements. Favorite part of the day. Wow, my wife's arm went up fast. You know why my wife likes announcements? It's because she figures out what I'm actually planning on doing at that point. Could have talked to her about it last night, but no. Disciple Makers, meeting tonight. We will be here tonight. We weren't doing Disciple Makers last week because Easter. 6 p.m. in the Bears Den, which is right next in our fellowship hall right over there. We have it available on streaming as well, so if you're not able to make it and you're like, you know, it's just raining too much or... But if you have a phone, just log in to our church app. You can go to our church center app, and you can look at it right there. You can follow along with what we're doing. You'll be able to hear the discussion. You won't be able to participate in the discussion, but you'll be able to hear the discussion of what's going on. We'd love to have you there, 6 p.m. On the first Sundays of every month from this month all the way through August, we're doing something called the Acts 2 Journey. And now the Acts 2 Journey happens on every on the first Sunday of the month, while Disciple Makers happen on every other Sunday night. So what is Acts 2 Journey? What it is those of us who have become a part of this church, and we are invested in things like that and what the church is doing, we come together, and what we're doing is we're praying, we're seeking God, we're going through this journey. It's a curriculum, but what it does is it helps us to hone in on what God is doing in our community so we can jump on board. Now, let me be clear. Can anyone come? Yes, I have no problem. Come on. I have said this before, and I'll say this again. I am not the sole repository of the Holy Spirit in this church or anywhere else. So, yes. Right. Yeah. There's no official childcare, but if he wants to come, my children will be forced to be here. Because that's how the life of a PK works sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah. We'll take good care of you. So, yeah. It'll be good. All right, distribution day. Our next distribution day is May 15th. It's going to be 11 to 1. I hope that anyone who can help and come and volunteer, please do that at that time. If you're not available to come and volunteer at that time, I completely understand. Work happens. Life happens. That's fine. God is good, and we've seen some wonderful things through this ministry, and we've been able to reach some folks. Yeah, it's great. Get to meet people, and oh, yeah. So, kids camp. 2025, July 14 to 18. It is $210 per camper. If you need any assistance with camp fees, please let me know. We may be able to help out with that a little bit. Just let me know, and we can help get your kids out to camp. Who wants your kids to go away for a few days? Now, it is third. Ages 8 to 12. I have to have her tell me that every time. I should type that in here so I know. Ages 8 to 12. They don't do it by grade anymore. They do ages 8 to 12. So if your kids are ages 8 to 12, let's have them go. There's no reason not to. There's really no reason not to. Do not let that scary dollar amount up there scare you. Okay? Let's get them to camp. And if you, what's that? And if you're 18 or older, you can actually, if you're a teenager or older, you can actually volunteer at kids camp. No. If you're a teenager or older, you can volunteer at kids camp. It's a really cool place to be. My whole family is going, every single last one of us. So here's the deal. If you want us to watch your kids and you not to have them around for a while, it's a great opportunity. If they're not quite old enough, you know it's coming. You know that these days are coming. Camp days are coming, and you can go for just a few days in the summer. Oh, yeah, it is great for the kids. The kids have a great time. Yeah, see, it goes both ways. All right, National Youth Convention. We are doing National Youth Convention this year instead of Youth Camp. And that is from August 4th to August 8th, 2025, and it is in Orlando. It is a higher cost for this trip, but if you're interested in going, we are going because these two got invited to go to National Fine Arts. Elizabeth got in on three events for National Fine Arts, and Abigail got in on one. And look, the more you put in, the more you get out. So. Anyway, we won't go there. So, yeah, it's down in Orlando. We're planning on some time, I think, at Universal a couple days before conference starts. And then the students will be there at the conference the whole time. And, yeah, it's going to be amazing. We will figure that out. If any students want to go, and you can make the, and you have the money to go, we will figure it out. So if you're interested, let me know. Otherwise, it'll just be us. But hey, there's always next year. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm used to saying that. So the National Youth Conference is... So we have youth camp every single year. It's just like kids camp, except for older kids. It's kind of like that, but at a national level. It's more like youth convention, which is in a space. So it all happens at a very, very large convention center in Orlando. So, yeah, think of like church service, but on super steroids with the fine arts element added in. You get to see a bunch of teenagers doing some really amazing stuff with fine arts. That piano player that we saw, oh my gosh. He's not insane, but he was really, really good. I know. I just have to use words that everyone understands. So, all right. Bears Den. If you're interested in reserving the Bears Den for any parties or events or anything, please let me know. And there's also a website you can go to, live360.org/Conway. You'll see event requests there, and you can request to use the Bears Den, or you could even use the sanctuary. We got days open. Let's fill her up. Finally, and this is what my wife didn't know, All Nations, Live360 All Nations. I was just there last night, and this is why I know about this today, and I didn't really know about it the day before that, until last night when I was there. I went to their church last night. But anyway, they are opening what's called the Welcome Center. So Live360 All Nations used to be what's called Live360 Intercultural. Now it's called Live360 All Nations. What does this church do? Live360 All Nations is very different from the rest of the Live360 churches. Most of us were in communities like Conway. We're planting a church. We're building up from the local community and so on and so forth. Live360 All Nations is in Springfield. And many of you may not know, but there is a very large population of immigrants in Springfield. And because of that, they don't have a lot of places that they know that they can go to or what's available to them and things of that nature. Now, political things aside, and we understand where our culture is today, but people are still here. And it's still incumbent upon us as the church to show love to people, no matter where they come from. So Life360 All Nations is doing some pretty cool stuff. They've got English classes that they run during the week. They partner with different organizations in Springfield to help out the immigrant population. But really what the Welcome Center is all about is it's a place for immigrants who are coming into the community for them to be able to come in and to be seen. I was just meeting with the pastor of All Nations this week, and I said, what's the biggest area of, like, and this is a word I had to use for an assignment I'm doing, what's the biggest area of, like, discrimination or oppression that the people in your church are experiencing in the culture that they're coming into? And he said, it's simply this: they're not seen. They're not feeling like direct prejudice or racism or anything like that. Instead, what they are receiving from the culture is just to be ignored. You know, that's something that they're dealing with a lot out there in Springfield. A lot of individuals are just ignored. We've all driven to Springfield. You've all seen people on the side of the roads. You know that there's homeless there. You know there's a lot going on there. What does this have to do with us? Well, they're having a grand opening for this Welcome Center on May 3rd, which is Saturday, next Saturday. What I'd love to do is to leave here at 10 o'clock in the morning with as many folks as want to go as possible. We'll convoy there. And what we can do is we can help them out with their grand opening. A couple years ago, we did this thing with the Party in the Box. Remember Party in the Box? It's a trailer from Life360 Community Services. It's got a bunch of inflatables in it. It's got this whole, like, block party in a box is basically what it is. And so what they're asking is, they were asking their congregation, and I said, hey, I'll ask my congregation, why not? If you're available to come and help, they need people to help get things set up. They need help running this thing. Be awesome if those of us from here in Conway, if we could go and we could watch kids bounce around on bounce houses so that the people from their church can actually interact with the people that are there, that would be awesome. So I haven't told Pastor Bill this yet. It'll be a surprise to him, too, because he's in Colorado Springs, and he misses out because I'm just pulling this rabbit out of my hat today. And if you're able and available to go on Saturday and leave here at 10 o'clock in the morning, it will take all the way through to dinner time. Yes, there's going to be food there. There's going to be all sorts of stuff there. There's going to be lots of games. Yes, sir. Yes, the PKs have to go. Ha! Yeah, just expect it, kids. So, but yeah, it'll be a great opportunity, and you get to meet a bunch of people from a different culture that you've never met before. Yes. It's actually going to be on the property of Life 360 All Nations, and if you would like that address, I can give it to you after church today. It's in Springfield, yes. It's in Springfield. It's actually near the Jordan Valley Clinic. The Women's and Children's Clinic on Grand Street, and it's not downtown. It's near, yeah. If you live in Marshfield, we'll talk about that, because that is probably your real question, right? Okay, so, all right. Wow, we got music and everything. Hey, if you don't have the church app yet, please get the church app. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and everyone should have it. It'll be a great way to follow along with everything that's going on, all of our announcements and everything. But kids, finally the slide arrives, and everyone says amen. See y'all later. Kiddos, time to go to kids' church. Girls, there's candy. There's always candy. And crafts. And fun. Otherwise, you have to sit in here and listen to me talk, and you've already heard me talk and sing all day. Awesome. It's okay. Hey, by the second time, they just run away, trust me. I used to have this song that would play with this. It's like from their generation. And the song goes, this right here is my favorite part. And it's what they get to run out of the out of the sanctuary. I thought that was funny back in the day. Yes. Oh, okay. I guess. All right, so we're going to be doing tithes and offerings this morning. If you would like to give online, we have a QR code up there that you can scan, or you can go to life360.org/giving. Let's pray. And let's pray before you walk around with the bucket. Thank you. Lord God, we thank you so much for the folks in this church that continue to give to the ministry of this church so that we can continue to serve other people, not just to keep the lights on, but to do really amazing things in support of what's going on in our community. Lord Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now Elizabeth's going to walk around with the bucket now. So where did our bucket go? I will have to find our bucket. Uh-oh. Yeah, the painting party. How'd that go? Yeah? Good time had by all? Good time had by all? They invited you back and everything? Wow. So tell us a little bit more about what happened at the painting party. Or tell us more about it, if you will. And, I mean, could you use other folks coming with you as well to help out or just spend time or even paint from the church? Yeah? Cool. Awesome. Yeah. One of the other ladies played the flute. Wow. You could have a flute duet. Yeah. They got to have real piano out there, don't they? So, yeah, I've heard wonderful things, and I think I talked to Abigail. I think she's going to paint strawberries next time because everyone wanted to do strawberries, but it was mushrooms. Maybe y'all could do strawberry shortcakes. Cool. That'd be good. All right. And you're like, yay, it's time for the message. Yes, it's time for the message. So we're in this series called To the Church, and I've done two introductions and an Easter service and haven't gotten to a single church yet. But guess what? We're there today. We are going to be talking about the church in Ephesus. Everyone say that word with me, Ephesus. So have you ever heard of the book of Ephesians? Ephesians was the book, was the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. Ephesus is a city, and it is a city, a very prominent city in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is modern-day Turkey, so it kind of looks like that. And so Ephesus is kind of like right there. So, so the first one we're going to be talking about is Ephesus. But before we get into the scripture, let me tell you a little bit more about the city, okay? It's not by chance that Ephesus is the first one written. In fact, if you look at all of the letters that are written in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, you're going to notice, if you look at it on a map, they're in order. And you're like, whoa, that's amazing. Now, it's not really that amazing, to be honest with you, because the way that it used to work back in the day is they didn't have the United States Postal Service, and they didn't have FedEx or UPS or anyone like that, so you couldn't send mail directly to wherever you wanted it to go. You would have a guy who would have the letters, and he would go on a boat from Patmos, which is where John is, and the first stop when you got to Asia Minor was Ephesus, that's right. That's where everyone would land. You would go to Ephesus, and then as we go through our messages and we look at all the different letters, it's really just right along the path, okay? So understand, Ephesus, first place they stop off, okay? Now, Ephesus is a pretty important place of the Roman Empire. Ephesus is not the most populated in Asia Minor, but it is the richest. It's a rich place. So, yeah, it's a very rich place. A lot of money going in and out of Ephesus. A lot of trade going in and out of Ephesus. Why? Well, it's the first place people stop at. Why? Anyone have a map? It's on the shore. Why is that important? That's where all the boats go. So if you wanted to get something from Greece over to Turkey, modern-day Greece to modern-day Turkey, it would probably go through Ephesus. It's kind of the port town. It's where the markets were. It's where a lot of stuff was happening. Think New York City, except not the biggest in Turkey or Asia Minor at that time. It was also the most religious with the imperial cult. So the Roman Empire. Let me give you a little bit of background here. The Roman Empire is an interesting animal prior to Christianity becoming the dominant religion when the Emperor Constantinople made it. Yeah. So Constantine, not Constantinople, Constantine. Several years later, Constantine became emperor, and then Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which then had a split, and now we know that there is an Orthodox church, Christian Orthodox, Eastern Christian Orthodox, and that's based out of Istanbul or Constantinople. There's a song about that. And then the other side, which is the Roman Catholic Church. So at the very beginning, there was many different main churches around the Roman Empire, but we're going even further back from that, okay? We're going further back to the earliest parts of the church here. And the thing is that Christianity is still, at this time, pretty small religion. It's growing very fast. And it's becoming a problem because guys like John are getting exiled to places like Patmos. Other apostles are being martyred. So they're making waves. But here's how they're making waves. It's not typically in this area. It's not going to be with the Jewish population. The Jewish population just says, I don't want to hear that. Get out of here. And so Paul, for instance, like Paul would go, all right, fine. Well, I'm going to go talk to the Gentiles. After he tried to share Jesus with the Jews, they'd reject him. And then he'd like, fine, I'll go talk to the Gentiles. So he'd go to talk to the Gentiles. They'd plant a church. They'd develop a church, like in Ephesus. And that's how the church would grow. And some Jews would come in, and others would come in, people from other religions. But here's the thing, is that in Ephesus, they had two main religions going on in Ephesus. Number one was they would worship Artemis, which if you look in the book of Acts and you're reading about Paul's journey into Ephesus, it'll talk about how he was preaching and so many people were coming to Jesus that they were not, that they'd stopped buying idols of Artemis. And one of the idol makers got upset because Paul's eating into his business now. And anyway, it goes pretty bad and they try to kill him and it goes really bad. These Artemis guys are kind of rude. Anyway, so that's one of the main religions there. But the people in the Roman part of Ephesus, the Gentiles there, they have another religion that they're a part of. And it's the imperial cult. And you're all sitting there, what is an imperial cult? Well, it was believed at that time that whoever was the emperor of the Roman Empire was divine, was a god. And so what they would do is they would pledge themselves to worship the emperor. Do we still see that in our world today? Yes, we absolutely do. We see that in China. We see that in North Korea. We see it in a lot of communist areas or socialist areas. We saw that in Nazi Germany. We see that in early Japan, where they would worship the emperor as a god. So, like, today we would think that, like, that's crazy. But at that time, it wasn't. So, I mean, could you imagine if we all thought Donald Trump was God? I mean, none of us thinks that, you know. Even folks that are like, "Oh, Donald Trump, yeah," and I'm not going to get political or anything, but you know, some people are like that, some people are not. But we went through some of this stuff. I remember back when 9/11 happened, and everyone really got into George Bush, like really into George Bush, and I'm like, "Y'all, chill out. It's just a guy. He's a guy. Calm down." People felt that way about Barack Obama. People feel that way about Ronald Reagan or George Washington or Lincoln. I mean, I could go through the list. Not a whole lot of William Henry Harrison fans around. Yes, they would worship him as a god. So they would have, what's that? I know. It's like hero worship. That's right. Exactly. We do it all the time. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. So here's how dedicated Ephesus was to this cult. They had built, from their own government money, two major temples to worship the emperor. In fact, they even dedicated themselves to the emperor when they went to the Olympic Games. We are going to win these Olympic Games for you, Augustus, in your name and in your glory. So, yeah. Interesting place, right? Yes. No, you're fine. Islam did not exist at this time. Islam did not exist at this time. It came along later. So, this is a bunch of false teachers around, aren't they? And can you see something that's happening here? I want you to catch something real quick. The people in Ephesus have idolatry by worshiping Artemis. They have idolatry by worshiping the emperor. And so that was a normal way of life for them. They would worship both of those deities. And then what they would do is they would try to get everything to smush together. Their faiths would try, they would try to get their faiths to intermingle in together. And then you even have a Jewish population living there. And the Jews, for the most part, would be left alone. But even they would have issues where they were trying to get things to try to smash together. And so what ends up happening is now Christianity comes in, and Jesus' message is, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the only way to heaven. What was that? No. Jesus says, I am the only way. That's it. There's no other God except God. I am the only way for salvation. How in the world is that going to play out in a place like Ephesus? There's going to be a lot of confusion. And it's going to force the believers in Christ to not only segregate themselves out, but to show themselves as being distinctive. And what ends up happening is when you are distinctive, and that's not the popular thing to do, you get it, okay? So this is what the Ephesians are going through. So I urge you, if you want to have some fun this week, go back and read the book of Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to the people of Ephesus, and read it from that lens. That way you're not looking at it from your American lens. You can look at it from their lens and what they're having to go through, okay? So this revelation is written after the book of Ephesians, obviously. And so here is where we're going to be picking this up. I just want you guys to understand that everything Paul is about to say is not a surprise to the Ephesians, okay? This is not something they're like, oh, no, you see this and we didn't. Yeah, they're not surprised by any of this. The Ephesian Christians are they're doing a lot of great things ever since the word from Paul came. They've done a lot of work, but the problem is that they've kind of overcompensated. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. So they still have some stuff they need to work on. So let's read. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7 says this, and we're going to be reading out of the Amplified Version so that we can get even more detail, because I like detail. You okay? Okay, cool. All right, it says this, to the angel, the messenger of the assembly, the church, in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches, in his right hand, who goes about among the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. I know your industry and activities, laborious toil and trouble, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men. And they have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. Okay, that's the first part we're going to talk about. So I'm going to break this down a little bit for you before we continue on. Jesus, who is communicating to the church directly by this letter written by the hand of John, because God had said, write this down. Jesus is saying, I see all of what you're going through. I know that you're dealing with a lot of things for my name's sake. I know that you're dealing with all this stuff, and you have done so great at pointing out and figuring out where all of this bad stuff is coming from. You have been able to discern where the bad men are, and you are doing a great job at that. But, oh wait, there's the but. There's always a but. But I have this one charge to make against you. Hey, one charge, that's not too bad, right? Jesus says this, that you have left, abandoned, the love that you had at first. You've deserted me, your first love. Ooh. Oops. Remember then, from when heights you have fallen. Repent, change the inner man to meet God's will, and do the works you did previously when you first knew the Lord. Or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent. Yet you have this in your favor, and to your credit, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, and I will talk about that. What they are doing as corruptors of the people, which I myself also detest. He who is able to hear, let him hear, and to give heed to what the Spirit says to the assemblies, churches. To him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I like that face, because that means that we've got stuff to learn, don't we? John starts off his letter praising the Ephesians, and he's praising them for their intolerance. Ooh, that's a bad word in society today, isn't it? He is praising them for their intolerance for wicked people. Is it a bad thing to be intolerant of wicked people? He praises them for being unconcerned about people who claim to be apostles but are not. They're being discerning about all that. He praises them for the perseverance through the hardships that they are facing where they live because they're surrounded by so much evil. Sadly, their intolerance has gone too far. How many of you guys know that they're bad people in this world? And we don't want to necessarily just hang out with bad people all the time. And we don't need to have that influence in our life. And we don't need to have things in the church specifically that are just bad. Like, you know, if you find out someone in the church is abusing their children, that's a bad thing. I don't care how nice they show up or how wonderful they sing in church. If you know they're abusing their kids, call CPS, please. I'm not joking. People need to be held accountable for the things that they're doing that are evil, even if they show up and they have a smile. And that's what's happening in their church. People are showing up with a smile, and they're doing all of these wonderful things, and then they're leaving church on Sunday, or I'm just using Sunday as an example, okay? They didn't have church on Sunday necessarily. Just go with me on this. So they leave church on Sunday, and then on Monday morning, they'd go in, and they'd go and eat food from an idol, altar. Well, and you're like, what's wrong with that? Well, you have to understand is that in that culture, what they understood is eating from that idol's altar meant that you were imbibing, you were taking in what that god or that idol was giving you. You were worshiping them. So these people would, on Sunday morning, show up and be amazing Christians in church, and then on Monday through Saturday, they'd live like hell. Whoa! There you go, church. We don't do that at all anymore, do we? How many people have we met in our lives that are an amazing, wonderful, they seem to be this amazing, wonderful, awesome believer in Christ on Sunday morning, but on Monday, or even on Sunday night, they're out looking at porn, or they're cheating on their spouse. Or they're just not being Christian. Right. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yep. Yes. Right. And there's grace. There's grace for people that make mistakes, but these people we're talking about, they're not making mistakes. Yeah. And guess what? Guess what? We all make mistakes. We're all good at making mistakes. The difference is are you choosing to make that mistake? As a part of who you are, as a part of your personhood. Do you show up on Sunday morning and like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then right after you leave the place, you're going and choosing to live another way. What do we call that? Hypocrite. We've all been hypocritical in that we've all done bad things after we've shown up and been a believer. I mean, I'm a pastor and I've sped before. I did it this week. I went through a red light this week. I am confessing to the church my sins. Please forgive me. I went 5 miles an hour over the speed limit to pass a semi truck. And I chose to do it. Sin is sin, isn't it? See, we can get in debates and all that stuff, but here's the reality. We can get in debates about what is sin and what is not a sin, but here's the reality. As Jesus said, follow the law. So the law is pretty clear. Boom. There is a line, and you don't cross the line, because if you cross the line, you've broken the law. And then you go, thank you, Jesus, for grace. But is that a part of my character? Is that a part of your character? Is it decisions that you make every single day as a part of who you are? See, that's the difference. These folks are showing up to church because they want to be counted amongst this group of people. They want to have friends that are amongst this group of people. But then they compromise themselves the rest of the week. They're not willing to sacrifice that piece of themselves. They're not willing to give up that chunk of their life that it maybe has been a part of their life their whole life. Well, we've always gone to Imperial Temple on Tuesday. Well, stop. Well, I don't know if I can stop. Yes, you can. It's simple. You just don't walk there. What's the best? What does the Bible say about temptation? Let me start this way. What does the Bible say we should do to the devil? Well, what? No. No. We resist the devil. Okay? resist the devil, because the devil is the liar, and the lies will come to your head. The lies will be given to you, and you need to resist those. Okay? But what happens when temptation comes? What does the Bible say to do? Run! Which means if you're sitting here and you're doing, I don't know, stuff on the computer, and you're suddenly getting the mentality like, oh, I should go do this online. Run! Get away from the computer. Lock up the phone. Whatever you got to do. I'm telling you. What does the Bible say? It says it's better for you to get into heaven missing an arm or an eye than for you to miss it completely. You catch that? Whew. I'm preaching in a direction I didn't intend to go. Thank you, rabbits. But see, here's the problem, okay? This is where I'm trying to get to. The church in Ephesus had a problem, and the problem is that those who believed in Jesus and were living this righteous life, they'd gone too far. And what they did is they've decided that all of these evil people, or the people that they've determined to be evil, because that happens a lot too in churches, they just determine it to be evil, like, you're breaking the law, we don't like you, goodbye. It's like shunning people at the door. We don't do that. But they did. And see, the problem is that they would shun people at the door. They would keep people from coming in. They would keep people from having relationships. They would stifle the message of the gospel to try to avoid having evil people in their church. I want bad people in here. We need drunks in here. We need drug addicts in here. I mean, what is this place? This is not the Holy of Holies. This is a hospital. People who want to get help, come here. Come on, seriously. So these Nicolaitans that we're talking about before, okay? They're this folks, Nicolaitans. Okay, I want to explain something. Nicolaitans they've gotten this theology from a guy named Nicholas. Nicolaitans, Nicholas. And he was a Gnostic. Okay, I'm done now. I got you. See, that's called a hook. So a Gnostic is this. Gnosticism is a theory of life. It was a philosophy that many, many, many people at this time would practice, especially down in Egypt. And this was seen a lot in Egypt. Gnosticism was the idea that your spiritual life was literally separate from your physical life. Your spiritual life was literally separate from your physical life. So, what that means is, I can show up on Sunday and I can feed my spirit, and then I can go out and live like hell, and it won't affect my spirit. Does that make sense? So the idea being is like, I can do anything I want in my physical body because it won't affect my spirit. But that was a common thing. That was a way that the people who had this concept of having multiple religions, having multiple deities, worshiping a bunch of different idols, would be able to do this thing because they went, my spirit's good, even though I'm over here prostituting at the temple. Their version of porn. They separated it out. But in reality, we all know that those things don't separate. Gnosticism believes that salvation is an internal action only, and it doesn't matter what the body actively does. You don't have to change. You just have to believe that you're going to go to heaven. We have a saying in church, you know, this is, we talked about Sunday morning Christians. That's what we're talking about here. But see, the problem is that the Ephesians, in their process of resenting what is evil, shunning what is evil, They've stopped loving people. They stopped loving people. Exactly. That's right. They took it for granted. Right on. So what can we learn from this passage? Number one, celebrate what's going well. And, you know, I spent a whole lot of time just bashing on the Ephesians. But guess what? They did good stuff too. Yeah. Yeah. They just weren't doing the right things with it. They weren't doing the right things with their discernment. Celebrate what's going on well. What do you believe? This is a question. I want to hear from you. What do you believe is going well in your spiritual life right now? Yeah, just say it. Just tell me what you think is going well in your life right now, spiritually. Yeah? It's getting easier to tell people about Jesus? What else you got? It's a lot of countries. Oh, wow. Sure. True. Do you know we're all in different places spiritually? Every single one of us are in different places spiritually. So let me ask you this question. How are you doing with your intolerance? Well, and here's the thing, is that this is a nasty word, and I'm not going to recommend you go, I'm an intolerant person. I wouldn't recommend putting that on Facebook or anything. My question is how are you doing with tolerating evil? Well, right. Right. Mm-hmm. How are you doing with your intolerance? Go ahead. That's right. We need to love the person and hate the sin. Yeah. One of the coolest things I see that you've done in your life is you have a friend that wants to be called a certain name, and you don't call her that. That's intolerant. Did you have something? Okay, go ahead. Okay, don't worry about it. She's been here before. Right. So here's a question. Here's a question for you. If we're supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin, isn't hate bad? Right. Yeah. Okay. Sure. So imagine I have a hammer. And I have a nail. And then there's a picture on the wall. What am I doing? Or there's a picture on the floor, and I need to hang it on the wall. What am I doing? I'm hanging a picture, right? It's an action. So the hammer is a tool, is my tool, and it has a specific purpose to hammer the nail into the wall so that the picture can be hung. I want to submit to you today that hatred is a tool. Because you love the sin and you hate the sinner. Sorry, you love... That was backwards. You love the sinner and you hate the sin. Wow, that was backwards. I got that wrong. You love the sinner and you hate the sin. But here's the deal. What happens if you start walking around with the hammer all the time? And then everything that happens in your life, you go around and swing the hammer at people. Yeah, you're probably going to go to jail, right? So here's the thing. When you harbor hatred towards a person and everything they do makes you something angry all the time, is that a good thing? No. Once you start hating people for who they are instead of what they do, that is evil. You can hate what's evil. That's okay. It's okay to hate evil things. But the problem is that when we hate the things that they do, that's not evil. Or when we hate them for just who they are. Can I tell you a secret? It's going to freak you out. There are people that have temptations in their life to sleep with people of the same sex that will be in heaven. Because they don't act on it. Because the action itself is the sin. I'm going to tell you right now, if I got convicted on everything that I was tempted to do, oh, I would be a very different person. They wouldn't be around. I'm telling you, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. The state would have put me down by now. Exactly. That's why we have a choice. But we have to celebrate what's going on where. Well, we need to be prepared for correction. Yeah, we're all good and fine about making sure we're good with the hatred and tolerance and all that stuff of other people. But are you ready to be corrected yourself? Are you ready to be corrected? Are you ready to hear correction? You don't always like it. You know what, men, we're good at? We're really good at hearing someone tell us that we're doing something wrong and then getting really angry about it for a while. And then eventually we go, man, I am stupid. And then we go, I do need a change, don't I? That's what we do. Oh, yeah. Man, I've done the dumbest things to my wife. You know what happened last night? I went to that church in Springfield, and it was about 7 o'clock when they were done, 7 p.m. because they do a night service at 5. They start at 5 and they end about 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours. It took me a half hour to get out of there, but Pastor, you know I don't stop talking. So I'm like, you know, I should probably get some dinner before I come home. So I got all the apps on my phone and everything, and my birthday just happened, so I still have some birthday rewards in there. And so I saw that Whataburger had a free burger for me. I'm like, yeah, I'll go there. So I went to Whataburger and got myself a burger and some fries and a milkshake and drove home. Well, I drove here, actually, because I had to do some work last night. And my wife is here working, like she often is. And I said, yeah, I just need to get – I'm here to get this done. And she's like, so what's our dinner plans? I said, our dinner plans? What are you talking about? It's 7:45, 7:30, 7:45 at night. We don't have dinner plans. I had dinner plans, and I figured you had dinner plans because I figured you'd eaten by now. Nope. Men? Well, maybe I shouldn't ask you guys. Ladies, how'd I screw up? There it is right there. The moment, exactly. I should have called my wife the moment I knew I was going to go get food. I messed up, gentlemen. I screwed up. So, the closest place was closed at that time. Sorry. There was only one, and here's the clock, here's the thing, is that by the time it's time for me to go get food, by the time it's time for me to actually go and get the food, it's like 8:15 at night. And even Hannah's is done making pizza at a certain time. And I was like, what can I do? I'm up a creek. And I said, rocking chair's still open. Because they're open till 9. Love you guys, but had to. So I messed up. I've been corrected. And I went and got fried chicken. And the ladies, they were like, oh, you're so sweet. I said, no, I'm not. I forgot. If I was smart, I would have picked something up. I would have been over there before 7. Oh, it wouldn't have happened. I didn't get back before 7. You need to be prepared to be corrected, guys. Ladies. You might have something in your life that's messed up and other people see it. Be prepared to be corrected. Finally, make appropriate changes. Make appropriate changes. Christ is not writing to the church in Ephesus for no reason. He wants them to change. In fact, he ends this whole scripture with simply saying this, if these men have ears, let them hear. Give them a chance to come back. Just give them the chance. Because what was happening in this church in Ephesus is they'd have some guy or some lady that mess up, does some sin or whatever it is. They get kicked out of the church. We don't want anything to do with you anymore. And then they wouldn't let them back. That doesn't sound smart, does it? But that's what they did. See, not only did they need to make appropriate changes in their life, They needed to allow God to make changes in the other people's lives and to allow them back into their life. Sometimes the reason why people in our lives are so stuck in their sin is because they don't feel like they'll ever be accepted without it. They think even if I get fixed, even if my life becomes better, they'll still hate me. So they just stay where they are. Because it's easier that way. Here's the thing, though. Prerequisite. This church has discernment. Am I saying let people back into your life just so they can hurt you again? No, I'm not saying that. Have discernment. If you know that those people that hurt you in the past, have sinned against you in the past, have not changed, don't let them back. But if you see them making efforts and strides towards redemption, towards reconciliation, yes, they hurt you. Yes, it was painful. But we have done worse to Jesus. We've done worse to him. And maybe that person doesn't need to be a central part of your life anymore, but you, for goodness sakes, you need to figure out a way to forgive them. Because I read somewhere in this Bible, that's really there. I've read somewhere in the Bible, pretty clear, from Jesus, How in the world do you expect me to forgive you if you can't forgive others? There are people in this world that just live in perpetual unforgiveness towards somebody. And they feel justified by doing it because of how much they got hurt. Or same way with churches, too. We get so angry and offended. Let me tell you something. The only person that actually gets hurt by offense is the person who builds it. Because you're blocking yourself out from everyone else. It's true. All right. What do you all think of that? It's good? All right. So do it. You know, I'm not going to come up here and I'm not going to blow smoke or anything like that. I'm not going to be like, hey, cool. You heard the message. Now go and live your life the way it was. That's exactly what this scripture said not to do. Don't go live your life as it was. Don't you dare walk out this door today exactly the same way as you walked in. That's not the power of the Bible. The power of the Word of God is to change you. So, change. Well, that's hard. Yeah, I know. So commit to change. Am I expecting you to be all better by next week, by next Sunday? No. I'll probably have sped again by then. I am just that much of a sinner, I'm telling you. I just don't like hanging out next to semi-trucks. But I have another choice. Don't speed past them. You could always slow down. God, you know, when the guy made the car, he gave you two pedals, sometimes three. But there's two pedals there. I mean, I'm hurting people today with these little bitty sins too, aren't I? Some of y'all are sitting around and you're liars all the time. You lie to people all the time. You know, you get caught in something and you lie. How about you not lie? Well, that's going to hurt them. Well, you shouldn't have messed up. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I have kept you. But I hope the message gets through to your heads today and your hearts. Don't be like the Gnostics and be like, I've checked my spiritual block for the day. And now I can go do whatever I want. It doesn't work that way. Belief in Jesus doesn't work that way. Faith in the Lord doesn't work that way. Making him Lord of your life does not work that way. So let's stand, because now I feel like I'm holding y'all hostage. Lord God, this is not an easy message for some of us to hear. But you wrote this directly to a church that's struggling. They're struggling with offense. They're struggling with hatred. They're struggling with an intolerance that goes beyond intolerance to evil, beyond what it needs to be. Lord, you do not tolerate evil. You do not tolerate sin. It cannot exist in heaven. Your word says that anyone who has lived their life in sin, has not repented, has not come to faith in Jesus Christ, their destination is the lake of fire. Because that's where sin goes. That's where hell goes. But Jesus, you made a way for us. You died on that cross and you rose 3 days later for a reason. And that reason is simply this, that we have an opportunity to know you. That we have an opportunity to come to faith in you. And Lord, I pray today, if anyone in the sound of my voice needs to dedicate their life to Christ, needs to change who they are and follow you, God, I pray that they'd cry out to you today. And Lord, I pray for our lives. Those of us who claim to be believers, have our lives live up to our claims. Change us. One day at a time, one thing at a time, God, change our lives. But we want to be more like you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we can have compassion on people, that we can love the people that you've created, that you want to have a relationship with. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. And look, the sun came out and everything. Get mowing, y'all.